Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies, theological reflections, and occasional talks by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speakers are Father Nathan Castle, OP, pastor, and director of the Catholic community. It is the 30th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
How many of you here were here last week? Okay? That quick review. The seed landed in four different places. Where's the first place it landed? On the path. What happens when it lands on the path? Sorry? Crushed? The birds come and eat it. It can't do anything because the birds ate it. There were people in the story that were like that. In fact, most of them were the religious authorities. They recur throughout the story, but Jesus doesn't get anywhere with them because the word that was sown in them, there's just no evidence of it. It goes away quickly. All right, on the path. Second one. It was only a week ago. You know this. Second one. The rocky soil. Yeah. The rocky soil. What happens when the seed gets sown in rocky soil?
No roots,
but there's a part before that. It sprouts up, and it at first it looks really promising. It bursts onto the scene, like the disciples when they were called away from their nets. It looked great in the first early chapters. Jesus says, come follow me. They drop what they're doing, and they follow him. Boom, it looks great. But there's no depth to the rocky soil. Remember, Peter even gets his name changed from Simon to Peter, which means rocky. And we watch him not have sufficient roots when he's tried. That's what happens when it's rocky soil. What was the third kind? The thorns. What happens when the seed falls among thorns? It gets strangled and choked. And Jesus said there are particular things that strangle and choke the word. And what's that? The cares of the world and particular cares of the world. Money and stuff. Many of the cares of the world have to do with money and stuff. And there was a guy who was the example of that. He came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit everlasting life? Remember? That was 2 weeks ago. And he said he's followed all the commandments and all that. And Jesus said, there's one more thing I need you to do. Go sell your stuff. And come back and follow me. And remember what happened? He couldn't do it. He went away sad, the text says, because he had a lot of stuff. The stuff choked him. You ever feel like your stuff chokes you? Right? The last one. The fourth one. The good soil. Today's the good soil guy. The irony is, at the beginning of the story, he's not in the way, he's beside the way. He's having to rely on other people to know that Jesus is there at all because he at least listens. And he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is around and he shouts and calls attention to himself in a crowd, throws it all out there and says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They tell him to shut up. So what's he do? Shouts louder. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. If you've heard me preach before, you know that mercy is one of my favorite words. It's related to merchandise. Merchant. When you ask somebody to have mercy on you, it's because you know you're on the wrong end of the transfer, wrong end of the exchange. You're a dented can. You're a product that's past its expiration date. But you want the consumer to pay the full price for you. Have mercy on me. See the full value of me, even if I've devalued myself by the way I treated you. Please, have mercy on me. Jesus says to some of his followers, call him over. He doesn't just say, get out of the way, I'll handle this. He goes to his followers and says, call him over. Call is a very important word for Christian people in Mark's gospel. Call him over. He's called. He not and then someone says to him, You have nothing to fear. What's his name? The guy in the story? Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus. And you know what Timaeus means? Fearful one. Timid. Timaeus. Same root. Can you imagine? You're afraid of something, aren't you? Or haven't you been? How about if you embodied, you're the human embodiment of fear? You're just walking around like a bundle of fears. That's the guy's name. He's the son of fear. And Jesus says, call him over. They say to him, don't be afraid. Get up. In fact, the word in the Greek is rise. Rise is a pretty important Christian verb. Rise. He's calling you. What does the guy do? He doesn't only stand up. He leaps up and throws off his cloak. And then in the Greek, there's a play on words, because the word for blood and the word for cloak are only one letter different. Hamartia is cloak. Hematia is blood. There's a play on words going on because he's ready. He's all in with all his blood. He throws off his cloak and comes to Jesus. Now they're face to face. I would say eyeball to eyeball. The next they were. It's just that only one of them has working eyeballs. That's the problem. Then Jesus asked them a question, the same one that he asked last week when James and John, two rocky soil guys, say to him, hey, we want the best two seats in the kingdom. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus says to them, what is it you want me to do for you? And they say, we just want the best two seats. We want backstage passes when you come into your glory. Today, it's the son of fear who's being asked, what is it you want me to do for you? And he just says, I just want to see. That's all I want. I just want to see. Just right now, what's right in front of me. And Jesus doesn't say, by the powers vested in me, shabam. He says, it's from inside you that you're healed. It's from inside you. Your faith has healed you. Then Jesus says to him, go. Another really important Christian verb. It's at the end of the Mass. Go now to love and serve the Lord. It's a commissioning word. Go. Go, he says, on your way. And you know what the guy does? He doesn't go, he stays. Or at least he decides to go with Jesus and his followers. And he follows them in the way. He's the model for the rest of us, being all in. As a pastor, that's what I would love for all of us to be, me and all of you. Would I like to encourage you to have lives of prosperity and peace and comfort? Kinda. But mostly, I want you to be all in. I want you to be all in. I want you to be daredevils. Dare the devil. Jesus did, the beginning of the gospel. Throw yourself all in. That's the good soil. Then you never know what Jesus is going to do with that.